I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't read as much as I thought I was going to.
Me neither.
Crap, what was that guy's name?
Just delete the whole thing.
Hey there, and welcome to Off Bites. I'm Lauren.
Hi, Off Besties. I'm Chris.
Thank you for letting me force you to say that. Today, we're bringing you some of the strange stories we've stumbled across that we haven't been able to make into full episodes. Now, at first, I thought this batch didn't really have a theme, but I actually think they do.
Really? I don't really see one.
I was thinking maybe like down under or underneath, something like that. You see, we've got nudity, we've got butt-specific story about butts, we've got sunken treasure, we've got illicit drugs. Those are all things that are usually or hopefully under the cover of something.
So a lot of common themes that we come back to again and again on Off Bites.
Nudity, butts, yep. All the old chestnuts that we're well known for.
Well, we'll see if the listeners are still in on all those topics. We always want to hear from you. If you hear something you like, please reach out. Or if you have any story ideas you'd like to hear us dig into, let us know. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Chris C. Blake. And our host, Mike Rogers, is at KRLD Mike Rogers.
And I am sorry I gave you old copy there. Twitter is now X. On that website, I am LaurenBerry91. And you can also email us at somethingoffbeat@odyssey.com.
We're all still calling it Twitter.
Sorry, Elon.
So this first story, we've got people in the newsroom at KRLD looking out for something offbeat. One of our editors sent a story about a person who went on a 2,000-person nude cruise and suggested it as an episode idea. It almost seems like a story that we should have reached back out to Mitch London, who we talked to last year about a nude bowling event, to have on for this topic. But this is Off Bites and that's not what we do.
2,000 nude people is a lot of nude people.
Side note, before we get into the story, we were having a meeting in the newsroom this morning to plan our coverage for the eclipse in a couple of weeks in Texas. And afterwards, one of our anchors came up to me, not Mike, one of our anchors came up to me and said, "It's like, I wonder if the day of the eclipse is a big day for nudists since it's dark and no one can see him outside."
That's an amazing question. Props to that anchor. Although I think like part of the appeal of the nudist is to be seen in the nude. So I don't know.
Well, 2,000 of these people wanted to be seen apparently on this cruise. It was booked via a Texas-based company actually called Bear Necessities.
Cute.
That has been operating clothing optional ship charters since 1990. The man said he went on a Carnival cruise liner with his wife for a 7-day trip from Tampa that included stops in Mexico and Honduras. It was his first ever nudist cruise, and he's in his 60s. He said it was not a swingers cruise or a sex positive environment. It was just a crowd with lots of nudist experiences.
Interesting. I can't like... I don't know. Cruises kind of freak me out anyway. I just wrote about a cruise that like caught on fire. And I would like, what if something happened on the cruise and you had to evacuate and you didn't have any clothes? You're just like wandering around Mexico naked.
Well, ideally, I think you would pack something.
Okay, that's a good point.
Because it does say that the captain would come on about 30 minutes before they entered a port and said, "Put your clothes back on before we get off the boat."
Do you think the captain was naked?
I would be surprised.
Yeah, me too. I hope he, you know, I want them to be enjoying themselves if it's their cruise.
The man says from his understanding, no employee from the cruise liner was obligated to work those charters if they don't feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And he did write that all staff was closed.
Okay.
Except for a male-female duo that performed in the theater. The age range was mostly in their 50s to 70s. And he said overall 20% attractive. 20% average, 60% unattractive.
Oh my God. Did he? That's amazing. Did he offer that or did they ask him for a percentage breakdown of the?
This is all based off a Reddit thread that this guy wrote. So he put all this information out there himself.
Nice. I mean, he's proud about it. That's great.
It also says hygiene was another worry among the Reddit mm-hmm. commenters. But the totally. Man said all cruise goers took a towel with them everywhere to sit on, and there were clean towels all over the ship.
Okay.
Also, clothes were required in the main dining room and in the specialty restaurants. So I think that's smart.
That's relieving. Yeah.
The article ends with summing up his first nude cruise experience. The man said it was awesome, great weather, and the opportunity to do a bunch of fun things nude.
All right. Well, I'm happy for them. Again, I couldn't do it, but.
I don't think this is up my alley.
Mm-mm. But, you know, I'm happy there's a place for them. I guess a cruise is like safe. Like all the people are like also into it. You know, you don't have to like worry about running into people who are going to be freaked out by 2,000 naked people.
True. Just got to wait till you're 50 to 70, apparently.
Yeah. No comment. I love that people now come to us with stories about naked people. It's great to have that reputation.
We've got a brand.
We do. So our next story isn't about nude people. We apologize. But it's about a Stone Age megastructure that was found all the way on the seafloor. According to a study published recently in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, researchers are rethinking what is known about hunter-gatherers who lived 11,000 years ago after this discovery. They're from Kiel University in Germany, and they came across this row of stones located 69 feet under the surface of the Baltic Sea, and that's about 6 miles off the German coast. This structure was found in the fall of 2021, and researchers since then have been investigating it, looking at the stones, which are connected by boulders, and they have determined, you know, after looking at it a lot, that it could not have been something natural. So I really like the story you found it, Chris, and it kind of reminded me of like the lost city of Atlantis. And then I got super into ancient Rome, which we talked about on one of these podcasts before. And there was like this palace that Cleopatra had that fell into the ocean, and they still like go down there and look for stuff that tells us more about ancient life. So I think this is super fascinating. Why did this catch your eye?
So I think like lost civilizations are extremely interesting and I should read more books about them, but I get in bed and start scrolling instead of picking up things to read like the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. But I think anything that gives us a clue that someone lived somewhere in a place that we'd never realized before always kind of piques our imagination. And to find something this complete underwater is kind of cool and maybe foreshadows what we're headed for.
What people will be like, what was something offbeat? They find all these notes that we were taking about it, hopefully. So this one, it says that the team believes that the structure was built to assist in hunting reindeer. That's like even more kind of offbeat than I thought it was going to be. What a random thing for this thing to be, hunting reindeer.
Maybe there were a lot of reindeer.
So they used underwater vehicles, I guess, to observe this, to figure out about it. Super cool. I think we should do more stories about things hidden underwater like this. We just have to find one guy who's done a lot of research on it.
True.
Is it you, listener? Have you written a book about lost civilizations? Call me or tweet me.
Not giving out your phone number on the podcast.
You know what? Yeah, maybe a bad call.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This fits into Lauren's theme of under that was foreshadowed in the opening of this episode. And this happened in Massachusetts, where police made a discovery of a U.S. Army rocket launcher that was hidden under the seat of a suspicious truck parked outside of a motel. It happened in February in Sutton, which is about 50 miles southwest of Boston. where a detective was surveilling a vehicle in the parking lot of a Red Roof Inn. Police said the driver was sitting in the vehicle for about 30 minutes when the detective thought it was a bit weird. When he approached the vehicle and started talking to the driver, he spotted, quote, items typically used in conjunction with illegal narcotics use. So that prompted a search of the vehicle when the detective found the Army rocket launcher under the back seat. So I'm sure police use probable cause to search vehicles for stuff all the time. I would assume that this is not what they usually find.
Yeah, this is super weird. I liked it for a few reasons. It kind of reminded me of Buffy. There's like an episode where they steal a rocket launcher and they use it at the mall. So I was like, maybe they're trying to kill vampires with it.
I did not make that connection.
Gotta watch more Buffy. And then it kind of reminded me of the recent episode we did about bombs being hidden in places, but there's apparently just like hidden dangerous weapons just all over the place that we don't realize.
Just in cars.
Just hanging out in cars.
Yeah. Next time you buy a car, make sure they don't accidentally try to sneak an illegal weapon into it for you.
It comes with a free rocket launcher.
Yeah, which you'll go to jail for if they find it.
So does this article say how did they find out how these people got it?
It does not. The detective asked the driver what he planned to do with the weapon, and he was, quote, pretty vague about his intentions. The driver's facing charges of possession of crack cocaine and possession incendiary device.
The crack cocaine might have something to do with it.
It could.
The cruise one is the winner of this group. I think.
This one's pretty good, though.
This one is pretty good. And this one, we did the underwater one, we did the under the seat one, and now we're going to do another story about things that should usually be under clothes. It's about a man who was stabbed in the butt in a dispute over a leg press machine at the gym. Now, I've been thinking about joining the gym, but this story has kind of set me back a little bit on that goal of going to the gym more because now I'm a little bit afraid. But let's see if we can turn that around for me as we work through it. So it says here in this report that John Mackinson, he's 69 years old, didn't appreciate that a fellow gym goer was inquiring about the leg press machine that he was using at the time. And then the two men started to have an argument. This was in the locker room a bit later. And then Mackinson, he got really mad and he started yelling. And then he, you know, as I said, proceeded to stab this other man in the butt with a knife. And the victim told police that Mackinson started chasing him throughout the gym, holding this 4 to 6 inch knife and like holding it in the air and running after him, which sounds terrifying. I don't mean to be blasé about this. Maybe a good workout, some cardio, running from a knife wielding person. That was bad. I'm so sorry to everybody that I made that joke. So the other gym goers obviously recognized that this was happening. They started circling around the victim to protect him from Mackinson. And then Mackinson started yelling, "Who else wants some?" Which is just, I can just picture it. Police eventually apprehended Mackinson behind the gym, and he allegedly told him he just got out of prison for this, says the article. I'm like, chasing someone in a gym with a knife. Records showed that Mackinson was convicted of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon for another stabbing in Austin in 2011. He was paroled in 2021. I'm not sure if the previous stabbing was also about a leg machine. That would be wild if it was. So now he faces another charge of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And the victim was taken to an area hospital. He's okay, but he did require 500 milliliters of blood immediately. And the stab wound that he sustained was 3 to 4 inches deep and required 4 staples to close. Holy, that is grisly. Poor man. I'm so bad at the gym and I don't know what the machines are for and I don't know about gym etiquette. Like, this is terrifying for me because I would definitely ask someone about the leg machine they're using while they're on it. Like, this could happen to me.
I don't think it would happen to you because I have a feeling that if you approached somebody using a machine, and I don't know how this guy approached Mackinson, but something just tells me it probably was not in the most kind way.
I think your theory is probable. Like, it might have been like, are you done with it yet? But we don't know. I'm conjecturing.
So yeah, just be friendly. and you probably won't get stabbed at the gym.
Oh my God. It's scary though. Have you ever, this is an extreme case.
No, I have not been stabbed at the gym.
I'm so glad. I'm sorry that I'm laughing about this. I feel terrible for this poor guy with his wound. It just is so, so offbeat that I can hardly intake the information. Okay. So you haven't been stabbed at the gym. I'm so happy to hear that. Have you ever like dealt with someone who was like having gym rage or like maybe freaking out at the gym a little bit?
No. And I feel like you do see videos float around every once in a while of like two meatheads getting into shouting matches or like fights at the gym. I mean, you may not be able to tell this over Zoom, but that's not me. No, I typically,
you're very calm.
I've never been in a situation where that even started to become a small problem.
Okay. I don't go to the gym much, but in my, like any of my experience at the gym, people usually like stay to themselves. Like I haven't really like seen even a whole lot of interaction between gym guests. And I used to do yoga, go to yoga studios, but yeah, I've never seen anyone get stabbed at a yoga studio.
That would be the opposite of yoga.
Yeah, that would, like, I'd be like, you guys are doing it very wrong if that's what's going on at the yoga studio.
Well, Lauren, as we've discussed on this podcast a few times, I do teach spin classes in my spare time. So I will make sure that nobody gets stabbed the next time I teach a class.
I trust that you will be able to do that. I'm excited to go to one of your spinning classes one of these days if I ever end up in the Dallas area. So thank you for joining us, Off Besties, for another Off Bites episode. Keep your eyes peeled on Monday for our interview on glass blowing and the Netflix show Blown Away.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.